Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Father Ed Freedy. Father's the pastor of Christ the King Parish, Ann Arbor, Michigan. That means he's my pastor, who I've known for many years. He's done a great job. And I've asked him to come this week. He's been with us all week talking about different dimensions of the person and life of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is meant to be in each one of our lives. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived right there on our website, but you can also download them on whatever device will allow you to listen to them whenever you'd like. Now, there's just a tremendous amount of good stuff, I think, the Lord, we touched on this week with the help of the Lord. I think that would encourage you and help you in the faith, so go ahead and take a look at it. So welcome back, Father Ed.
Thank you, Peter.
Yes, yeah, so today I thought it'd be helpful to shift a little bit our orientation, the conversation. We've been talking this week mostly about the amazing things that the first fundamental things the Holy Spirit has done in us, that he gives us power to become children of God. He unites us to the cross of Jesus Christ. We participate in the life of the sacraments of baptism. We're made children of God. We're heirs of Christ. Then we talked about the power and capacity to live a new way of life. You talked about Pentecost so eloquently and what was happening with the apostles and their transformation. Now, today I'd like to talk about the power of being sent. The apostles were sent on Pentecost. The recent popes have told us thousands of times, probably, that every one of us, by virtue of our baptism and confirmation, we are all sent ones, sent by the power of the Holy Spirit and equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to you when I say that?
Well,
what do you think of?
I think, among other things, it means that our relationship with Jesus is something that we're supposed to share. I mean, there's a great line, I think it's John Chrysostom, it says there's nothing as colder than a Christian who refuses to share the gospel. But lots of people don't feel comfortable doing that, and I think part of it gets back to what kind of living relationship with the Holy Spirit have they got? Because you see on Pentecost, you could not contain the apostles. And in every subsequent experience of the Holy Spirit, especially as articulated in the Acts of the Apostles, the immediate response for people was to go out and tell people, to let other people know that they experience very concretely being sent. The fact of the Great Commission, that we are all called to share the gospel, is something that is significantly understressed in the average life of especially the Catholic faithful. And part of that is because when you talk to Catholics generally, when you thought about missionary activity or sharing the gospel, they thought about those people that had a formal vocation to do that, the missionary orders in particular. And our way of sharing the gospel was we wrote checks to the missionary orders. But that's not exactly what Jesus had in mind. And the clarion call, especially of Pope St. John Paul the Great, to engage in the new evangelization, which is any situation we find ourselves in, to be willing to share the gospel because we've been sent to do it and we've been empowered to do it. We've been given these gifts in confirmation. We've been given these gifts to be able to proclaim to people just exactly who Jesus is. But when we talk about being sent, remember the disciples first were sent back to Jerusalem to get the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when the power of the Holy Spirit landed on them, then they were sent to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to the rest of the world. The reception of the power of the Holy Spirit was essential and fundamental to them acting out that sending, that then they could go out and let other people know.
In very simple terms, Father, then, what is that for our listeners who might be saying, okay, I want, what does it mean for me, and how can I receive more of the Holy Spirit? I have been baptized, so I have the Holy Spirit. I have been confirmed. I have the Holy Spirit. What more should I do? Is there something more I need to do?
Right. Well, I think, you know, now, it's a guy thing that we don't like manuals. Yeah. You know, we don't like to ask for direction. We don't like to ask for help. And that can be a stumbling block because we've been given a manual. We've been given the scriptures because if we want to find out how do we release the Holy Spirit, what should it look like when the Holy Spirit is present in us, in the first place, we turn to the Acts of the Apostles. You know, the Greek name for that book is the praxis of the apostles. In other words, the practical living out of their life, and that's what it's meant to be for us. So we read the Acts of the Apostles because, as the Church pointed out in the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, that the entire Christian religion and all the preaching of the gospel must be nourished and regulated by the sacred scriptures. So anytime we want to find out what to do, first place we go is to the Word of God. We read the Acts of the Apostles, and we see the level of amazing familiarity and direction that those apostles experienced in being led around concretely by the Holy Spirit, especially in terms of their missionary activity. You know, the classic example of that, you know, is Philip being told by the Spirit, you know, go to this road, wait until this chariot comes up, get into that chariot. And then the consequence of that is the Ethiopian eunuch has a conversion experience and is baptized because Philip was open to one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, which is a way of God saying, here's what I want you to do in a very explicit, concrete way. Philip didn't simply experience some kind of warm, fuzzy emotion that God loves you. I love consolations, and that's a great thing. But what he experienced was a specific task to do that was he was empowered to do because he'd received the Holy Spirit that resulted in conversion, which is kind of the point. The point of Pentecost is to enable us to bring other people to conversion because we've shared with them the gift of the Holy Spirit and the reality of who Jesus is.
One of the things that's so clear in the New Testament, Paul's teaching, he'd say, as he's teaching these young Christian communities about the work of the Holy Spirit, he makes it clear to them that they've been given spiritual gifts by the Spirit. He said, to each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the building up of the church, and for mission and ministry. Can you say something about those gifts and the nature of those gifts, and what can ordinary Catholics anticipate for their own lives, and what should we expect to have in our own lives?
Right. I think what we should expect, again, is to look in the Acts of the Apostles and see what happened to them. That on Pentecost, they experienced the gift of tongues, they experienced the gift of prophecy, they experienced courage, they experienced love, they experienced a great ability to just go out and share. And then remember in the early church, when the apostles walked into some pagan city and they got propagandists from a variety of different religions because there wasn't a stable religious environment in the ancient Near East or in the Mediterranean basin. Everybody and their brother was propagandizing for somebody. So when the apostles walk into a city and they start telling people about Jesus, why would people pay any attention to them? But if they walk into the city, raise a couple people from the dead, now people are going to pay attention. Why? Because they have concretely demonstrated that there's a supernatural power behind what they're saying. Therefore, their words should be looked at with a certain level of validity. Of course, this is how Mark includes his gospel when he describes that the apostles go out proclaiming the good news, and Jesus accompanies them by the signs that confirm their words. And so when that happens, the consequence of it is now people say, okay, we should pay attention to these guys because look and see what they can do, which, of course, is the point that Paul makes when Paul says, don't just tell me what they say, show me what they can do. How is the power of the Holy Spirit present in them that makes them concretely believable?
Yeah, the New Testament, or the Acts of the Apostles, in some ways you could talk about it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, really.
Exactly.
You know, you think about Acts chapter 10 when St. Peter is speaking to Cornelius and his household, and the first time the word's going to the Gentiles, you know? And so Peter bears witness and testifies to the person of Jesus and who Jesus is by telling the story of his passion, death, resurrection, his ascension, his lordship, and glory. And then Peter watches before his own eyes, to his great surprise, the Spirit falls on them, and what happens? They start praying in tongues, and they prophesy.
Right.
And then it just rocks Peter's world because of the common experience. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, I think, too, part of the issue was how much of this is available for the non-Jew?
Yeah.
And because that was one of the huge controversies that impacted the early church. How Jewish do you have to be to come to a deeper relationship with Jesus? So when you're talking about Gentile pagans, and yet Cornelius wasn't baptized at the point at which he experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's baptized because he experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Peter says, how can we deny the waters of baptism to someone who's received the Holy Spirit in the same way that we did? So what you have happen is the Holy Spirit descends on Cornelius. I mean, sometimes when you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's like Peter didn't get much more out of his mouth than saying, hi, I'm Peter, and God the Holy Spirit lands on them.
Yeah.
Because a gift of the Holy Spirit was shared with them, they understood, and the rest of the apostles understood, that this is now for everybody, that the full life of the Holy Spirit is not for the chosen few, it's not just for the kings or the prophets or Moses and company, it's now for, you got a pulse, it's for you.
Yeah, that's good. And here, thinking of Romans chapter 15 here, as you were speaking, Paul, toward the end, he's talking about how the ministry of the gospel came through him, and he said, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has wrought through me, to win obedience, that is to preach the gospel, to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul's saying, how did this happen? How did these communities get built? What did God do through me? He said, I'll tell you. It all happened by word and deed, through the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how my gospel went forward.
Right.
He said, so, you know, Paul said, as I mentioned earlier, that to each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, these spiritual gifts. There's what are they, and how can people find out what they've been given?
Okay. Well, the place to start, of course, again, is with the Word of God. And Pope St. John Paul the Great calls that scripture that you just quoted, to each one is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. He calls that Paul's golden rule, which means it's meant to be a golden rule for everyone. So how do we find out what that is? You know, we read, especially the chapters immediately surrounding that verse, which is, you know, Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because there Paul kind of lays out sort of a systematic treatment of, here are the gifts, here's how they work, here's what they do, here's why we want to use them. Because when we're given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we give people reason to believe that the words that we speak are true. And of course, we see that not only happening in the early church, but we see the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened with Francis of Assisi in particular, where the church was a mess at Francis's time. You know, the Pope has this dream of his cathedral church, St. John Lateran, about to crash to the ground. And out of the wreckage comes this little monk who puts his shoulder to the basilica and pushes it upright again. A short time later, he recognizes that the guy in his dream is Francis of Assisi, who's standing in front of him. And what was Francis known for? Francis was alive with the power of the Holy Spirit. Francis proclaimed, Francis broke in tongues, Francis healed, Francis did all these different things. And the consequence of that was tens of thousands of people in Europe engaged in this great outpouring of charismatic life because they saw present in Francis this reality that the scriptures speak to. Now, of course, people didn't have the same kind of access to the scriptures in those days. And so what they saw was lived out in Francis, the reality that they could now embrace, which, of course, is what we're called to do. Because in a culture where more and more people don't have an experience of the scripture, living out the power of the Holy Spirit by our actions, by our deeds, by our words, is one of the ways in which we can now communicate that gift we've been given.
Father, we have just a minute left in the program. I wonder if you could lead our listeners in a prayer of just opening and receiving. I'll give you the whole minute, so you got to keep an eye on the clock as you're praying and lead us right on out of here.
Sure. So, well, let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the greatness of your love for us. We thank you that you delight to draw us more deeply into your heart, that you delight to bring us into your Father's presence, that you delight to fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to help us to say yes to you. We recognize that you must be the center of our lives if we're going to truly live for you. Help us, Lord, to say, I surrender. Help us, Lord, to say, I surrender my life into your hands. Be the center of my life. And as you empower us to be walking with you, give us the power of the Holy Spirit that we may truly live for you and let you move through us in everything we do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.